Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earl, and here are today's topics. Manchester City stumble against Chelsea and have to rely on Rodri to rescue a crucial point for City in the title race. Injury concerns begin to pile on Liverpool, but that doesn't faze Jurgen Klopp's men as they sweep aside Brentford in a 4-1 win. Days after putting 6 past West Ham, Arsenal continue their full-throttle pace and defeat Burnley 5-0 at Turf Moor. And Rasmus Højlund keeps the good times rolling at Manchester United as they earn a narrow 2-1 victory at Luton Town. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
My friend, well, let's start it at the Etihad. This was the last of the three teams in what we believe the title race now. Playing with Arsenal and Liverpool, getting their business done. So, City hosting Chelsea, a City team on 11 straight wins. I think we probably thought it would be 12 straight wins, but I have to say, a couple of things didn't happen. City didn't play, their football wasn't at their best, and Erling Haaland had an off day, would be my takeaways, mate.
Yeah, I've got more than that. I've got more takeaways than that. I think you're absolutely right. I think City weren't quite at it, but Haaland absolutely had an off day. Misses, particularly the last header, that, like, flabbergasted, really. Like, wow, like, he missed that one. It was such a... It looked like a comfortable header. So a bad day for him. The more takeaway me, Rob, was Chelsea and their performance that I didn't see coming. Yeah. The spirit, the togetherness, the defensive strength, the individual displays, the team display, the attacking play. They could have been a little bit more ruthless in front of goal to put the game to bed. They had a couple of opportunities to score more than the one goal against Man City. Edison came up with a big double save, I think, late at some point in the game.
Against Sterling, wasn't it?
Yeah, Sterling really got a good contact on the ball, makes a good save there. It's just Chelsea, Rob. I think I said after the game in the studio, wow, like that's a new standard for Chelsea now. That's a new bar that they've set. And if and when they perform in different ways and don't get good results, you can go back to the way that they played, the way that they worked hard, Rob. You know, even the midfield players, particularly Enzo Fernandez. Enzo Fernandez, I've never seen him so far in English football work as hard without the ball and track back. Now, maybe we'll get into why this is, whether these young players need to have a big occasion, expectation levels are a little lower, maybe less pressure when they go to Man City. But some of the performances of some of their players throughout the team, particularly defensively, were incredible. And that's so different to Chelsea, and they absolutely deserve their point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a Chelsea. I looked at numbers, so, you know, my headline I gave you were because I think we felt City would win the game. And you know, at this stage, we you know, all talk about City hitting the patch where they go on these incredible runs. That wasn't to take anything from Chelsea, who, as you say, were excellent. I'd put it on par. I think early in the season they played Arsenal, Chelsea. I think they got a scoring draw against Chelsea, where I thought they played particularly well. And in other games, I think we've maybe had spells of good Chelsea where you've gone, that's better. That looks more like it. That, you know, but it's never been over a sustained period. It's never been probably against the quality of opposition that they had against City. I thought, like yourself, I've got a note. I thought Caicedo and Enzo are starting to look like a partnership, mate. And I've been critical of them early in the season, that they play like individuals. At times, they don't understand the responsibility in front of a back three or a back four, however they're set up. I thought that as a pair, that it's starting to look something like what you pay $200 million for and can start to give some security to the team behind them and start to launch attacks as they did in the attacking third that can be really dangerous. I thought they restricted City, although City's football wasn't great, certainly in the first half. Pep said that himself. But I thought, despite the possession, they restricted City. Their shape was good. Their defending was resolute when it needed to be. A couple of really great performances back there for them, even with Thiago Silva not available. And it was it was absolutely a day where, you know, Potter's had a couple of decent results against Pep with his Spurs teams down the years. And this must have given him as much satisfaction as any of those days.
I think what he's got to do now, Rob, given that performance, is that it's pretty obvious that what has to be relied on for me, and that's, I don't know, like the mentality of the team. The mentality of the team. You know, that's the kind of the level. And I know some of these haven't had a ton of Premier League experience and new players coming
into
the club.
When you say work on that, Rob,
yeah.
When you say work on that, elaborate, what do you mean more, you know, is that like, conversations, is that team meetings, is that video stuff, you know, working on mentality? It's not like fitness, is it, or finishing or possession? It's a bit of a different thing, and you know, just for our listeners and viewers, sort of take us a bit deeper where you mean with that.
Okay, so it's a good point. I think we know that there's talent in the players. There's too many times now we've seen it in games. We saw it firsthand, by the way, Rob, didn't we? The first game of the season. Was it Chelsea at home to Liverpool?
We
were right there.
Liverpool,
they played really, really well.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is the mentality to be consistent, the mentality, and it is going to be videos, it is going to be chats, it is going to be meetings, to kind of keep going back to some of those performances, to keep showing what's necessary. Mm. Maybe the Premier League, you know, we didn't play in other leagues in Europe, Rob, and I think what we see is that it's a more intense, more physical, maybe more competitive. I don't know. Other leagues could argue that. But I think, you know, to win a Premier League title, you've got to have so much kind of grit, so much character, personality, and be a brilliant football team. I think Man City show that. And teams throughout the years have shown that the talent alone doesn't get you there. It just doesn't. It just does not. You know, even this Man City team works really, really hard without the ball and presses and everything else. They've got to learn, Rob, or grow the mentality that sort of effort, determination, is going to have to be most weeks. You might get away with it. You might get away with it, you know, every now and again. But that is what they're capable of. And just in terms of individuals, right, and Levi Colwell is a player that I've watched closely at Brighton on loan last year. Great player. Great plays. 20 years of age. He's slotted in there where Thiago Silva has been struggling, Rob. He's hanging on, to be fair. He's 39, Silva, and his body's given up on him. You know, he's been an incredible footballer. It just looks like he's coming to the end a little bit. And Levi Colwell has been playing out of position as a left-back. Is a fantastic centre-back. Thought he was brilliant. Along with Axel Disasi, by the way, who played a game like, wow. Who is this guy? Nodded things away, was brave, intercepted. He was incredible. And I'm going to go on to my underappreciated performer. And this is both underappreciated and like one to watch. 20 years of age, Malo Gusto, the French fullback that's in the team now as Rhys James is out injured, is getting better and better every week I see him. First off, is not questioned, is his technical ability. Very skillful, good decision maker. Yeah. What has surprised me is his pace, his defensive one-on-one situation, Rob. And whenever you hear of pace, good at one-on-ones and good on the ball technically, then you've got a future star there. I think I think he'll benefit from games in the Premier League to understand, physical intense. Wow, another winger that I've got to deal with. That is coming. I can see it in him. And, you know, of course, Rhys James has had injury issues. What a player to pop into that position now, Rob. And, you know, all these players that were bought by Chelsea, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit of time to kind of figure out, okay, have a look at certain players, get them in the team. Games after games. Well, okay, who's Malo Gusto's adjusting lovely, and he's at his age. I think there's a bright, bright future for this guy. So I want to give him a call out, shout out. I've liked his stuff before, Rob, but there's been moments in games where I'm like, you know, you're a little that's, you've got to do a bit better there, or you've got to be a little bit tougher there, or you've got to, you know, I thought he had an excellent game, really, really strong game. And you add that to Dizazi, to Carwell and Ben Chilwell, that was back to his normal level, and that's why it was difficult for Man City. And that's what I didn't see coming. I can comment to signs of Chelsea in midfield. I kind of like where they're going with it. Conor Gallagher's looking better with goals. Caicedo looks happier. Mm. Enzo Fernandez, the manager's funny, Rob, the manager talked about him. He didn't put it in a way of he's getting fitter, but he said his movements are better. He's getting box to box. His engine was way better in this game than I thought he had. So, again, good signs. And Cole Palmer, you know, float into midfield. There's a core in the central area of the field that I like. And the back four, particularly at Malagusto, I thought he's one to watch for the future. I thought he's excellent.
Yeah, actually saw a lot of Gusto during that summer series, and I was impressed with him then, and sort of said, wow, Reece James might have a job on a little bit. And we know Reece James struggled with injuries, a hamstring, I think it's again. I think it's one of them where they don't have to rush him now. They can, you know, this guy will get games. Like you say, he ticks all the boxes, technically super strong, good on the ball, pacey. Remember, he's against Doku, one of the most dangerous wide players in the league. And he's got a bit of fight in him, Rob. If the ball's there and he has to go and put his foot in, I quite like that in him as well. So it's a great shout. It just adds to the talent pool of Chelsea, and another player that maybe in different days, Rob, if you have to go options, maybe go with a back three and a wing back between James and Gusto. You've got players who can play in possibly both those roles, or Reece James may as a right side centre back with Gusto outside. He might be something that Poch can turn to if he's needed. But you're right, I agree with that. I kind of think the mentality thing, so I'll just go back to the point you made. I kind of feel that it's a good point in terms of what's required. I kind of feel like, you know, probably Thiago Silva's the experienced head who everyone's looked to, and you've talked about where he is in his career and what a brilliant career it's been, by the way. But I just feel as though this group, Rob, have to take the mentality piece and move it on. Mm. I don't really feel like there's a great individual. I'm not sure Reece James is a great, you know, vocal captain. He's not John Terry, is he? He's not that guy who, you know, puts the armband on and goes. I think I almost feel like between the players, you know, the Cole Palmers have got a role to play. You know, Caicedo, Enzo have got a role to play. Colwell might, you know, collectively, they've got to get themselves in a space where they don't let standards drop, where they know maybe going away to Burnley or Sheffield United, we've got to do as much as what we do when we go to Manchester City. And if they can start to do that as a group, as well as what obviously Poch and his coaches are doing, that's when, you know, I get the sense that Man City at times get together as a group. And we've heard, was it Fernandinho before, Rodri's grabbed the group together and said, hey, we're not doing it, we've got to get back to our levels. I kind of feel that's what Chelsea have to do and challenge each other, Rob. Sometimes, you know, as a teammate, you have to fall out with a teammate to get the best of him on a match day. And it doesn't matter after the game, it's gone. But sometimes those little sparks of kind of confrontation are what gets people playing at a high level.
I'll follow on that point, Rob, because I think it's pretty obvious. I felt that was a big step forward for Chelsea. And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
That team now know what it takes to go to one of the best teams that we've ever seen in English football and get a result. Yeah. They've learnt tons. They've learnt tons on what it takes. The back four have learnt what it takes. Enzo Fernandez has learnt what it takes. The wide players, the shape of the team, they've learnt together on this. And you know, they can go. I don't know. I just think it was a really great learning game for Chelsea. Wow. If we do this extra work, by the way, we can go toe to toe with the champions. You know, that's how good we are, everybody. And we're mid table and we feel sorry for ourselves sometimes. And yeah, everybody says we're inconsistent. But look what we can do together if we do get it right and we put in that extra blimmin' 5, 10% of effort and what it can do for the team and the result in this division. So that is where I think there's a big step forward and they've learned a lot about going to referencing, like you said, where a player can go back and say, remember the City game, remember how compact we were, remember how aggressive we were to win the ball back and our quality in other areas will do well. I think this is a big game for Chelsea. Now again, the job for them and for other big clubs at times where young players are being consistent. I still feel there's a few spots in the team, Rob, that are going to need help. I'm still really not sure about Nicholas Jackson being a centre forward to win him, to take him towards the top of the very top of the Premier League table. There might be a few other spots, but I'll tell you what, I'm a lot more encouraged now defensively, Rob, because I thought, wow, you know, they're missing Wesley Fofana, Thiago Silva's injured, but Levi Colwill and maybe Disasi. Maybe they've taken a giant step forward and that back four can be settled, Rob, for a little bit. A little settled back four now with those two in front that we've talked about, and then they've got some nice, talented players in the attacking areas. Top marks of Chelsea. I thought they were really good.
Let me just chuck two quick thoughts at you about Chelsea. One is ahead of a League Cup final next weekend.
Yeah,
maybe we'll learn a bit then, Rob, having what a great kind of rehearsal that was. Now, can they take a mentality and some belief into that game at Wembley? Because a bit of silverware would do no harm to that football club. Just in terms of, as you were talking, I was just thinking about Disasi and Colwill in particular. Two young players who've come into the football club who, you know, are still finding their way, still finding the right levels, but both with potential. And I've had this situation before, and I'm sure you have. Sometimes, Rob, when you're playing either next to, we were midfield players, or somebody where you're next to an old kind of legend, and he's the guy, and like you've probably watched him in your career, and then you're playing next to him. And you know, sometimes, Rob, and I'll talk personally, you get a little bit edgy that you don't let him down and he doesn't think bad of you. You know, with Thiago Silva not being in the team, and I'm not talking about ability or anything, and this is just a human nature, might sometimes players feel a little more at ease?
Yeah, I agree. I think when there's a team of youngsters that you look around and it's like, oh, God, it's just us. Let's get out there and do it. I think it's a good point. You're almost, Rob, you're a little intimidated by him. And you're very easy to let him call the shots and make decisions.
Dominate.
Cover. It happened to me many times in midfield at Middlesbrough. We had a lot of kind of big-name midfield players come in, and I ended up doing their work. Like, they were a little lazier at that point, maybe being older in their career. I kind of swept up after them. I did a lot of their work they didn't want to do. And when I played, my most enjoyable time as a midfield player, actually, Rob, was playing in midfield in the Premier League alongside a young a Borough lad called Jamie Pollock. And we were both kind of, I think I was mid-20s. He was like a few years younger than me. And we loved the challenge of going up against these Premier League sides with these big-time midfield players. And we just gave it everything. And I love playing with him, maybe more so than some of the stars I played with. I played with Paul Gascoigne and Paul Ince and Andy Townsend and Emerson and Janinho and all these guys that were huge reputations. So I think it's a good point. And maybe, you know, time is to move on. And it's Colwell's time now, and it's Disasi's time now, and it's Gusto's time now, and other players to be those legends and to get the confidence in that. Before we move on, Robbie, I've got to talk the champions. And
yeah, let's talk. It was City. Yeah.
No, you go ahead. No,
not a great day. I mean, I think it's 77% possession, so as much possession, but certainly first off didn't, you know, create too many chances. Again, let's talk about an off day for the big man up front. So we had 9 shots in the game, Rob. An XG of 1.71 in this game alone. Erling Haaland. So, I don't know, is it a case of, listen, even the champions can have off days, even this great goal scorer, 36 Premier League goals last season, can have an off day. Might that be what gives, you know, if this is Jesus having an off day, we say, oh, that's why Arsenal can't win the title. You know, top centre forwards have days when it doesn't quite happen for them. I mean, the header sort of sums it up. I mean, the header, he scores 99 times out of 100 with his eyes closed lying in bed. So that just summed up that it wasn't his day. You know, connections wasn't right. His timing wasn't right. Whether his confidence or his body language wasn't great. It was just one of them days. They got better second half. They will feel they should have had a penalty. I think I agree with you watching it live. I didn't think it was. I mean, we go forensic on it. And there was a bit of arm movement, but I'm kind of glad the referee stayed with his decision and no penalty was given. I think it was the right call in the circumstances. On a day when, I think it was a day that would give Arsenal and Liverpool hope, Rob, that you know, Manchester City might have some days when it doesn't quite go as always to plan. and maybe a couple of star players having off day. We very rarely see it, but I'm sure that's what might just give them some hope to that they might go all the way.
I thought there's two parts to it, Rob. There's certainly the Erling Haaland part to it. There's another part to it that we shouldn't ignore.
Yeah.
Chelsea could have had three goals. And Man City have conceded many more goals than you might expect, particularly on the back of what I've said before, Rob, about this team with all these big centre-backs. They look so strong and physical. They've really improved that part of the play, and that's why they're winning titles all of a sudden. I think they've gone off it a little bit. I've just finished a quick tactics session in the studio there, Rob, looking at City. Mm. And there's a couple of examples of Kyle Walker, Nathan Ake... What's the right word? Not very conscientious in their defending. I don't want to say lazy. I feel that's a little bit harsh. But at times, for one of the chances, I think it was a Sterling chance, Kyle Walker's just lets him run by him. I think for a very early chance, it was Nathan Ake that was very slow getting back.
Yeah.
And that left them so open space in behind. You know, I don't know whether the defenders need a little bit of a kick up the backside, Robert City, to say, listen, we play expansively. We need you to be at maximum alertness when it turns over and it breaks down because there's a lot of space in behind us.
Yeah.
And I feel in that game, particularly Walker, particularly Nathan Ake, there was moments when they jogged back a little bit when their guy got the other side of them and caused them a problem. So there's a striking bit. But I think we know he's going to come good. I mean, there's no question. Haaland's a ruthless finisher. He had a bad day. The defensive side of it, Rob, is where the City, Arsenal and Liverpool might feel like, ooh, conceding a little bit and going to drop points. And that happened today. They got a point. Rodri does it again. So many goals come from him. That could have been a loss very easily, very easily. And that's what we'll watch now, Rob, over the next few weeks to see how Man City defend and if there's anything that Pep's going to do differently. I mean, he's got his guys in there. Ake, Diaz, Akanji, Walker, Rodri.
Yeah, yeah. That's
about as good as they can line up defensively, really. So, great game, though. Well, really enjoyed it.
I think it was a great game. It's an area we always know. And the first thing we talk about, you know, City, when we talk about fullbacks or, if it's, I don't know, with John Stones, we talk about how inverted they are, how much they're going to go into midfield. And you know, if teams are brave enough and good enough, then we've highlighted those spaces that can be attacked. And you say, if City just are not quite have it, if somebody just, you know, if Kyle Walker's determination to get back is just not quite on the mark and he's against somebody with pace, it's going to cause him trouble. So, it's a good point and certainly something to watch. And we do have to just finish because I just put, you know, Mr. Reliable, Rodri, I mean, they have these people who have days for them, Rob, when it's a Haaland day, it wasn't his today. This is a De Bruyne day. We saw a Foden day against Brentford recently. You know, it's a Rodri kind of, not only what the goals of, you know, an obvious brilliant strike, gets a deflection, goes in, but he's the right man at the right time, but just his contribution to the game, Rob. And I was thinking that, you know, Caicedo and Enzo, both, you know, I thought had really good games and starting to look like a partnership. And yet, Rodri sits there like he's almost a combination of them both, isn't he?
He needs help, Rob. He needs help sometimes. He needs help, Rodri. And that's another, you know, you've got Alvarez and De Bruyne that don't want to help him defensively. And he can normally do it, but not
like
all the time.
One. But it's a midfield player, isn't it? It's more of a midfield player, a fullback now coming into midfield than a midfield player sitting next to him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was.
I thought it was a little bit of belief for others that, great game. A little bit of belief for the other teams, you know, in the title race, and a day that City will probably say is a blip and move on, but, you know, food for thought for Pep and his team.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Okay, mate, we've had a good chat on that one. Yeah. Let's move it on to Jutec Stadium. Brentford hosting Liverpool. Liverpool team that's had a few injuries, starting to get one or two back, but suffered a few more injuries while they're there. And the Jutec, never an easy place to go, mate. But in the end, Liverpool's firepower again, proving that, you know, regardless sometimes of how they play, there's so many goals in this team, so many opportunities. I mean, couple of the goals from breakaway situations that Thomas Frank said, you know, this team from our set pieces can look so dangerous. And that's what Liverpool have in abundant speed and attacking threat. Mm.
Yeah, I think the headlines here for me are just the same thing. It's the attacking quality, Rob. Just the quality, the finishes, the Nunes kind of confidence with the big scoop. You know, all areas. It's of course, concern that Diogo Jota looks like he'll have a nasty injury. I think it was Christian Norgaard that fell on him. You have the other advantage of Alexis McAllister now with Endo playing, can get forward. And we saw a nice goal from him where he's got the quality to find a little way through and pokes past a goalkeeper. That's their thing at the moment, isn't it, Liverpool? Interesting, Rob, before the game, that Thomas Frank, the Brentford manager, was saying that... Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't get more headlines, actually. He said that Liverpool were harder to defend than Man City. The way that they attack is more fluid, it's more varied, it's more expansive. They can go around you, they can go over the top, they can get to feet and run in behind, they can play 1-2s, they can cross a ball from Trent. Robertson getting forward, he kind of said, you know, City are amazing, of course, but you kind of know how they're going to do it, and you try your best to nullify it. With Liverpool, it could come from different areas. And I think we saw it in the game. We saw it in the game with Nunes' goal, with McAllister from midfield. You know, Cody Gakpo, they come off the bench and score a goal. So that's where Liverpool right now are looking so strong and so varied. And when they bought Gakpo and Jota came in and Nunes and Luis Diaz, it was like, wow, that's a lot of great talent there going forward. Defensively, you know, I'm a lover of Colin Bradley back into the side. Rob, he was back in. Trent Alexander-Arnold's out injured. Konate, I think, was in for Kwanzaa basically because of Ivan Toney. The physicality that Konate can bring, the experience that he can bring, helped with Ivan Toney, who still got his goal. But it was a impressive, strong Liverpool outing against a team that were ready for them. They had a strong lineup. That being said, Ethan Pinnock, Rob, was a late casualty, an injury, I think, in training. Pinnock's played every minute of every game this season in such an important part of their defensive line, and that was missed really badly. Nathan Collins had a bit of a nightmare. He got done by Mo Salah, remember? I think he failed to clear another ball. So that defensively, they were very much weakened with Ethan Pinnock. But Liverpool, continue, Rob. And the top of the league table right now, as we look at it now, Liverpool 25 games played, 57 points, 2 points clear of Arsenal. And even if City win their game in hand, they will be 2 points clear of... No, actually 1 point clear of them if they win there to go to 56. Liverpool, Rob, you know, Liverpool fans will be thinking, we've got a real, real chance, particularly after the Man City result that came later in the day, that they can win another Premier League title.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw some headlines in it. It's like, you know, they're calling it Jurgen Klopp's last dance, you know, in line with the Michael Jordan, and that, you know, it's still got legs in this team. 59 goals, Rob... top scorers in the league tells you the threat that maybe Thomas Frank is talking about, and it comes from different ways. And, you know, if Endo does hold and McAllister, you know, is allowed to play more as an eight and get forward, you know, we've seen at Brighton that he can add another dimension. Lovely, clever feet, isn't he? You know, nice. You know, as I was watching it, I wrote a note down on the thing, and I wouldn't to say he's the same, but he's got a bit of the Paul Scholes about him round the box. You know, those neat and tidy give and goes and turning balls round the corner and, you know, hard to pick up, which, as I say, would absolutely give Liverpool another dimension. I think in the past we've always thought, has there been enough goals from a Liverpool midfield? We know the front guys can always score, but going back to the Mane, Salah and Firmino days, it was like, where were other goals going to come? Well, don't think that's as big an issue now. The injuries are a little bit of a worry, although they are getting people back and people have come in. As you say, Conor Bradley is a great example of somebody who's come in and making the most of the situation at the moment. And I just want to have a... You know, another quick line on Darwin Nunez, mate, because he's almost become like, you know, the guy all the opposition fans have a go at. You know, it's a bit like, oh, he bobbles one, he scuffs one, he does that. I thought it was a beautiful goal that he took, mate. I thought it was a really lovely technical goal that he put over the goalkeeper with no threat. And I just was looking at his numbers, like 6 goals, 4 assists in his last 11 appearances for Liverpool. And a stat that sort of stuck with me, mate, that I thought, do you know what? Sometimes this guy doesn't get the credit. So the last time that he played in a Liverpool starting 11 and lost was last March against Real Madrid. So the basic line is, when this guy starts, despite all what he misses and the woodworks and the scuffs and this, he plays in winning teams, and generally the teams win, and whether he's getting the benefit or teammates are getting the benefit... I think as Salah's coming back, I think Darwin Nunez could have a really important role for Liverpool in all competitions, but not least the Premier League. Because if he can keep his form and his threat at the top end of the pitch, Liverpool can have a great chance of pushing City all the way.
Let me give you this one. So, Michael Owen, former Liverpool striker, England striker, legend.
Mm.
Made a very interesting social media post. And it said, I'm paraphrasing here, of course, that it was a magnificent finish, but the wrong decision from Darwin Nunez. In that situation, if you're a striker, there is a better percentage chance that you can score in a different way. He went the highest tariff way, the hardest finish, running at pace, ball running away from you to try and scoop it. Now, he pulled it off brilliantly. Michael Owen's point is that in that moment, you better slot on it. You better go and run a goalkeeper. If you had 100 of those, you'd be doing better in that regard. Now, I'm not telling Michael Owen how to finish goals. I think it's a very interesting observation, very interesting post.
It's a great interview.
He's probably got a point. But when you score, you know, it doesn't really matter. I guess his point is, if he tries that again...
when you score, you're right.
Yeah.
If you score, you're right.
But over a number of chances...
And I hear him. Yeah. You know, my counterpoint, I think, is a really, really interesting point for someone like Michael Owen. I totally get it, because I would say, which way am I going to score more often than not? But maybe he's feeling, you have to go with your feeling, and maybe on 8 or 9 of the occasions I slot, but you know what, today I'm feeling good, I'm flying against the keeper, and I'm going over him. I don't know. Listen, it's an interesting point, and it'll always be the debate with Darwin Nunez. Even when he scores, people can not criticise, but find a way to look at it. You know what I mean? He scores a beautiful goal, and we're saying, well, you know, if Mbappe scores that, or Messi, we say, oh, what a brilliant finish.
But let's wait till he fluffs up one of those, Rob, before we have a go at a minute. Wait till he fluffs up one of those chances, and then say what he should have done.
But I'm fighting the Darwin Nunez. I've signed up to the fan club. Darwin Nunez let's leave him alone. Let him do his thing. Let him scuff. Let him miss. Let him hit the post. We'll let him score when he scores, and let him try and lead Liverpool to a title. So, great result for Liverpool. And again, they, you know, their rehearsal for the League Cup final against Chelsea next week. You know, possibly the first of 4 pieces of silverware available to Jurgen Klopp and his team. For sure, they'll be taking that one serious and wanting to get, you know, the first piece of silverware in the bag.
All right, next game, Robbie Earle, is Burnley 0, Arsenal 5. Goals from Martin Odegaard, a penalty from Bukayo Saka, then a Trossard goal, then a Havertz goal. Was there another Saka goal? There's a Saka goal in the 47th minute as well.
Two Saka goals.
Two, one penalty Saka. and one nice finish. Arsenal, are they about as flipping in a purple patch, or about as confident, about as ruthless, about as good as they can be at the moment?
Purring, mate. Absolutely purring. Beautiful football. And I want to go to your point of... I was thinking probably along the lines that you talked, you know, with Man City, and you're saying, you know, City's football and great, but maybe there's a little lack of consciousness on the defending. Yeah. Let's talk about Arsenal, best defensive record in the league. I'm putting this line out, Musty, in terms of Arsenal. The most controlling football in the Premier League in terms of when they have it, what they do and how they get the goals and get into the attacking third. But how they stop the opposition getting looks at their goals is incredible. If you look at their numbers, their shots on target against, the XG against kind of number, it's incredible how well they do and stop the opposition, mate. And the goals are flowing. I think it's 21 goals in the last five Premier League games, five straight wins since the turn of the year. I was watching this game and I had a flashback of and I don't know, probably two of my faves of the Premier League era, you know, the Sean Dyche Burnley and the Arsene Wenger Arsenal. And it was like, Sean Dyche used to beat them up, didn't they? They used to go to Turf Moor and they used to beat up Arsenal. And I'm looking at Mikel Arteta's Arsenal. I know it's Vincent Kompany's Burnley now, but one... Nobody beats them up, mate, physically. They don't get beaten up anymore. Two, their football is so good that they were on another planet to this Burnley team who want to play football. And three, it feels like there's a more maturity to this group. There's an understanding. The goals are coming from different sources that we've talked about that's going to be so important because they haven't got the Haaland, they haven't got the 20-goal a season striker. You know what? Purring right now is important, but maintaining, you know, their form through now to the end of the season is going to be the key to it. And if they can keep anything like the belief and confidence, mate, they've got to have a chance.
I think we've got a fantastic title race, Rob. And I know we've said this before, and we have three really good sides that are, I know it was a little bit of an off day for City, but are really in great form. Not a ton of injuries on each of these clubs.
Yeah.
Wherever you look, you can make an argument for City, you can make an argument for Liverpool, you can absolutely make an argument for Arsenal. William Saliba, Declan Rice, Gabriel, if you want a triangle of strength, it's right there. The goalkeeper's more comfortable now. You've got the set pieces from Gabriel, he's got four Premier League goals. We know they've got 16 goals and set pieces more than anybody else in the Premier League. We know that Kai Havertz is starting to be more influential. Scored a really nice goal, Rob.
Go on, Kai.
Yeah, he comes inside, little nutmeg, and scored from that midfield position, making his forward runs looking happier going forward, but also more giving without the ball. I think we've seen that the last couple of games. His work ethic, all of a sudden, like, wow, he's got a great engine. We're seeing it. That's handy. That's useful to have if it isn't going to be a goal-scoring day, that you add other things as well. Why players who look like they're in form again? Saka's got 10 Premier League goals now, hasn't he? More than that, 12 Premier League goals now, isn't it?
More, 12
Premier League goals. Martinez looking confident. Trossard, you know, I love him. Gets his goal. I always think it's important for him to get goals, Rob, when he can, because he's quite an easy player to bring out. You know, let's go for Jesus. Let's go for maybe Nketiah. I think he's starting to make the position his own. And I'm pretty sure I said this last year, that Trossard should have stayed in the team when he had a little run. He did well. He came out again. Jesus was fit again, played in the side. And it kind of fell away a little bit. So I really hope Trossard starts as that false nine. He's absolutely the best at Arsenal at doing it. One of the best in the league at doing it, Rob, in terms of linking play, but also being effective in scoring and creating as well. So, yeah, Arsenal right now are a good scorer.
His numbers are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Trossie's numbers are good. Seven goals, one assist as well. Second top to Saka. And then, like, the Havertz. You've got Havertz, you've got Martinelli, you've got Odegaard on five. So the numbers are starting to come together,
All
Rob.
Of them.
And
yeah, enough of them.
Just
enough
a little
to
point
make it
as
up.
Well. The Havertz goal, and it's something that I read a few weeks ago, and it's just come back to me and starting to be something. Have a look how many times or from how many throw-ins that Arsenal either have shot a goal or score. It's another part of, and I don't know if it's a set-piece guy again, but the Havertz goal comes from a throw-in. And it's worked. And you have a look. Go back on goals for Arsenal in recent times. Set-pieces and throw-ins play a big part in, you know, the meticulous way that Mikel Arteta and his staff are trying to help this team to get over the line. So I totally agree. I think we have got a race. My lines were, I think, Arsenal are the most controlling in their football, the way they play and the way that they stop the opposition. Liverpool, I would say, the most dangerous. Man City have the most sort of tactical options, I would say, maybe against Thomas Frank. I think City can put you in a vice and not let you out, but that was my how I look at the top three and how I look at Arsenal in good nick right now. They've got a Champions League game against Porto midweek, mate. FC Porto away, and then they're at home to Newcastle next Saturday. So, you know, two games are of importance, and obviously we'll have to see what team he picked. Does he look to rotate at all midweek and then bring, you know, some players back into the team for the Premier League? Is there any kind of priority? But yeah, a couple of important games, but get the sense, you know, celebration police weren't saying too much this weekend after a 5-0 win, which I'm like, you know, as I've said before, knock yourself out, Arsenal, keep scoring goals, keep celebrating, keep doing what you're doing, because it just looks like there's a really good feel around the football club at the moment.
Yeah, and just before we move on, Rob, I think the Champions League point is a good one. You know, they want to progress, you know, the whole mixing of the squad. They make changes, they're not making changes. It's hard to travel in that level of competition now, Arsenal, and still win games in the Premier League. That's what City have done really, really well. Liverpool are in the Europa League, and there's a lower priority when it comes to winning a Premier League title, as Jurgen Klopp bows out. That might be a little advantage that Liverpool might use, Rob, in terms of being fresh and ready for every Premier League weekend and not have to travel and to scramble a little bit, recover players after a difficult knockout stage in the Champions League. Something else to remember. But no, particularly Liverpool and Arsenal, great weekend. And really enjoyed the games.
Just quick line on Burnley, mate, because I just felt like this was Vincent Kompany after just said we didn't compete in any area. I mean, three wins all season, 13 points, pretty much headed back to the Championship. We've talked about before that, you know, we believe in what Vincent's doing, the ownership group. Hopefully can keep most players together. They can come again, the player style, and come up better knowledge. But from now to the end of the season, I thought this weekend, it was the first time I saw Burnley not competitive. And I've said that about Sheffield United. It's almost like there's two teams now who are not competitive. That's not a good look for this team and Vincent.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a valid argument when you see them get pasted 5-0 at home, Rob, with the style and the criticism that's going to come in. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to change my opinion that this club, this team had to be rebuilt. Rebuilt in the summer. They rebuilt it. Mm. Well, not rebuilt it. They added some more parts in the January transfer window. Two of the back four that played Rob in this game came on deadline day. The centre-back and and Asignon, the right full-back, and Estev, the centre-back. Estev's 21 years of age. Now, I know some of these are loan. I think actually Estev's on loan from Montpellier. But I think there's less loan players than were before, Rob. So we're going to see next season Leicester City in the Premier League where, you know, if you don't make too many changes, they got a great chance of coming back. Vincent Kompany has changed the style. They were superb last year. They've struggled this year with a new team, making a new team, jumping up to this level for him as a manager, for the team, their style. It's been really difficult. Three wins is awful. I know, but what are you going to do? Are you going to just say, you know what, Vincent, thanks very much. Let's go down another road. Let's get another bunch of players to play in a different style. Let's do it differently to get back up again, to fail again. Should they play more pragmatic? All right, then go and play like Sheffield United. What's happened to Sheffield United? They're going to go down as well. For me, I think the club should absolutely stand with the manager, stand with the philosophy, and I'm thinking the money from the Premier League, the signings that they've made, Rob, they can stay there. It's a young team. Yeah. They're going to get better. They've learned a ton from being pummeled a few times in the Premier League, and they're going to finish in the relegation spots, but they might grow and they might learn. Now, if they do come back up with Vincent Kompany and they go again and it's equally as disappointing, but there's less changes in the side, then you can start to say for me, well, OK, Vincent, it was great. We love the philosophy. We're going to get another guy with the same philosophy that might do better. So for me, it's hang fire, stay strong, stay tough. I believe in Vincent Kompany as a manager, Rob. He's learning. The team are learning. They're super young. And it's been a painful season, but not one that you blow it all up and go for something different because it doesn't work. And I don't know, I'll leave you with the last word on this, Rob. You know a little bit about the ownership of this football club. Do you think that Alan Pace and those guys will have my kind of opinion, or they will like, well, you know what, we're going to go on to the next guy with his ideas and maybe some different players. What do you think?
I think they're well more settled, have got a longer-term vision of what this club is and where it should be, and going up, coming up was absolutely brilliant. But I think they'll go down, there'll be no fire sales, they'll hang on to I believe, most of their younger players. And they'll give, you know, they'll give Vincent the chance. He's done it once to get out of the Premiership and then come up and maybe address it a little bit differently, maybe spend a little bit more money in a couple of areas, Rob.
Yeah.
You know,
and
they've learned from the lessons. So,
you
know, we've talked, you know, in the past about Stevie G and Frank Lampard needing to learn the trade. This is Vincent learning his trade, and I hope, and I'm sure he'll be given the chance to bring Burnley back up again, as it looks like they're going to go down.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Okay, mate, let's go to the other team, another team, Luton at home, Kenilworth Road. I think we're on every pundit's list of one of the three teams to go down. Seem to be making a fist of it. Lost 2-1 to Manchester United today, but some could argue at times played the better football and had more possession, despite United getting a couple of goals through Rasmus Højlund early in the game, Colton Morris bringing run back level 14 minutes after that. And then United had chances on the counter-attack. Luton had more possession and will feel a little unlucky they didn't get a point.
Yeah.
I just thought, Rob, first of all, what a great game of football. Mm. What a great advert for the Premier League. What a great advert for all the things that are Luton Town, and we've known that, you know, they've been down in the bottom leagues, possibly out of going out of business at one point, to be back in the Premier League, to be playing. It's basically the biggest club in the league versus the smallest club in the league.
Yeah.
And there wasn't that much between them, the two teams, in the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just thought they were an absolute credit to the name of Luton Town. Credit Rob Edwards, the team, the players, the way they have an awful mistake to start the game. There's a deflected goal for the second goal for Rasmus Højlund, and yet they still found the spirit to continue playing. Rob Edwards afterwards said that doesn't change the game plan, and we conceded an early goal. They're kind of the way that they force Man United back. I mean, it's just It's marvellous. On a day that David Pleat, Mick Arthur were there, Luton Town legends, they must be proud to be associated with the club, that the way that they played there. They had a couple of chances at the end to nick a draw out of the game. I mean, in all fairness, Manchester United in the second half had a couple of really great chances to put the game to bed, but they didn't do it. And, you know, it goes back to... I mean, that's five wins on a spin, I think, now for Erik ten Hag's men.
Ten Hag, yeah.
And it's better, same front three, same Bruno in and around. I mean, Casemiro struggled with the pace of the game. I think a few of the players were surprised at how difficult it was to go to Kenilworth Road against Luton Town. And I said at half-time, Rob, you know, of course, we get out there, we have like 30 seconds to say something about the game. And my biggest, when I looked at the game, I'm still thinking, and I want your take on this, Rob, because maybe I was being unfair on Man United, where I'm like, that don't look right. You know, Man United scored two goals early. I mean, against Luton Town, go and take control. And I know that Luton are going to huff and puff a little bit. Have the quality and brave to get on the ball and to play and to keep possession and make them run, wear them down, maybe try and create some more. But it was score two goals and sit back and play on a counter-attack against Luton. Now, is that it then? I mean, are Man United going to... When are they going to change to be a team that I think the DNA of Man United is to play, to be expansive, to attack, to be front foot? And they win the game. So I get that, Man United fans, and they might be shouting at wherever they're listening to this or seeing it. I just think if you... I mean, am I wrong here, Rob, where expecting more from Man United, particularly if they've got a two-goal start, to really take control of a game against Luton Town?
You're not wrong, but you're slightly romantic, which is nice for you to be romantic once or twice. I mean, the biggest takeaway for Man United for me, Rob, is it's a win. And the next biggest takeaway is it's a win against Luton. So it's a win because in the recent past it hasn't always been a win, and we've been lower down the table. We're sixth in the table. We're closing in on a possible Champions League spot, whether it be fourth or fifth. We are not good enough. This team is not set up and good enough to control games in the manner that other teams do in the league. What this team have is a real threat. When I look at that front four, Rob, Garnacho, Bruno, Rashford and Hoyland, who are all in a bit of form, they have a real threat. And if they'd have taken their counter-attack chances in this game, it probably would have been 3-1, even 4-1, maybe 4-2 if Luton go on that. But they did still create some really good opportunities. They will not possess the ball. I think Luton, it's only the fourth time I think Luton have had more possession in the Premier League. And to do that against Manchester United tells you everything, Rob. They're not great with the ball. They don't trust themselves with the build-up. They don't have the security.
How is that possible, Rob? Let me just pause you there a little bit. Diego Dallo is a fullback that comes into midfield. That's technically pretty good. Luke Shaw can absolutely play. Casemiro dominated games in midfield for Real Madrid. Kobbie Mainoo, his main talent is keeping possession of the ball and passing. Yeah. Bruno Fernandes is technically good. How can they not be good enough to keep possession of the ball regularly?
Well, there's two points to that. One, we've seen this team try and play out, Rob, and at times it's been, and I said a few weeks ago, they've got to stop this. Own what they are, and that's a very good counter-attack team who, if they can defend better and push forward, and I know it's not perfect matching. The other obvious answer is that they have a coach who doesn't either believe in them or believe in himself, and that's the way he's gonna coach them, Rob. And I think Bex asked you at the end of the game, I think, in terms of like, will he still be there, or you know, is Erik ten Hag? And I thought it's a really interesting question, and I thought both you and Tim had your answers. For me, Rob, I'm looking at Jim Ratcliffe. He's come into this football club, played over $1 billion for 25%. He's running the football business. Every move he's made has been impressive, thoughtful, forward-thinking, and bold. He goes against Barrera from Manchester City. He's talking about bringing in Dan Ashworth from Newcastle United, who've got plenty of money to spend and whatever. They want to get the best. I think he will be watching the football, and he'll be like you saying, yeah, we're sixth, and we won this game. But this was Luton. Now, this was the Glazers. I think the Glazers wouldn't care, Rob. We're sixth, we won, that's all that matters. But I think this guy will care, and that's why I think this guy will go be proactive and get someone who'll also play the football. That when you 2-0 up after a few minutes at Luton Town, we win 5 or 6, like Liverpool do, like Arsenal do, like Man City would. Not that we hang on for a 2-1 win, 2-1 after 14 minutes. And yes, we don't take our counter-attack chances, but the opposition have more possession than us and look a better
football. Yeah, and they could have nicked a goal. They could have nicked a draw, Rob. Take it out of their hands. Take it out of Luton's hands by going and dominating and scoring. And they nearly did with a counter-attack, but it's a safer way to do it with through possession. So let's just make me so sure there. So you think, like me, that they will make a change in the summer, Rob, with Ten Hag? You think they will... They'll be thinking now who the next guy...
Yeah, because of those things. Mm. Because of... Well, it just... If I look at the kind of moves he's making in other areas of the football club, he's making those kind of moves, Rob. Yeah. And I think, why would you not, for the man who's at the top, for the football that
really
we play...
He's
not paid one point on bid. Talking about changing the club, the Wembley of the North, and talking about developing Manchester, the area for the fans and things... This isn't a guy who goes, that's a great win. It's an important win. We're sixth in the league with 2-1 against Luton. This guy also wants to play the kind of football where millions of people want to come and watch Manchester United again and be enthralled by the football, not just be enthralled by the points.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page there, Rob. But it was a win, and they keep going. They're up to sixth. They'll think they can get into the top four spots. I just don't think they're going to do that. But listen, at this point, there's plenty of games left. Maybe they can find a way. Confidence is growing to get into the top four. But, I mean, I of all the games this weekend, I just think the Chelsea-Man City game and the Luton-Man United were so blimmin' good. And I was so, in some ways, proud. I have a good friend who's a Luton Town fan. I'm like, wow, you must be so proud of the way that your team played. Really enjoyed the game. United came out on top 2-1, Rob. Let's just go down, quickly comments on other games that grabbed our attention.
Just on that, mate, just before you do, I just thought the reception of the fans, mate, was something different as well. You just got beat 2-1. I know it's Man United. But I thought the fans with the players and with Rob Edwards and that going off, I thought was just sums up a club that's, you know, going in a good place. And I still think got a really good chance of staying in the league.
Rob,
mate. Let's see how things go at the bottom.
Last point on this. How about the midfield two of Lukonga and Barkley? How about
Lukonga and Barkley? I've got Lukonga.
I mean, we could talk all day about
somebody. 24 years of age.
Yeah, and Ogbonna, the wing-back on one side. Alfie Doughty, that I love, the bits on the left-hand side. And this is all Doughty, the way by Adebayo, the top scorer, went out before the game with an injury in the warm-up. So...
Yeah,
tons of good stuff for Luton Town, and a great chance of staying in the division. I think
I've got
last
one for
on
you,
on,
mate. Sorry, last one.
Right,
Casemiro's on a yellow card. Could have got sent off. He's an experienced Champions League winner and top class international, and you know, storied to death. And Maguire, I'm not sure whether Maguire was an injury or also on a yellow card, but two players who get taken off at half-time and replaced by McTominay and Evans.
Yeah.
Are we in a position where now we can't trust Casemiro for 45 minutes against Luton Town to not get seen? Yeah, Maino gets a yellow card in the second half, and he stays on the pitch and manages to do. And Harry Maguire, is that where we are now?
I don't know, mate.
You're on a yellow, you've got to come off.
I'm with you.
I was slightly taken aback by that. Like, I'm an experienced international footballer who's won things all over the world. Okay, I've just not got to go to ground and make sure I don't do anything silly.
Yeah, can't be trusted.
I mean, we've all been in that position.
Yeah, I can't be trusted. I mean, the only thing I think, Rob, that maybe the game was a little quick. The game was a little quick from in midfield. Barkley's got great feet. Lukonga was brilliant in the game. Maybe just a missed time tackle away from being red carded.
Yeah,
and Maguire got done, didn't he, at that one time? He did get a yellow card, Harry Maguire.
Yeah.
But tons of stuff, as always, to talk about these two football clubs. We should move it on, my friend. Let's move it on to just other results.
Go on, mate. Let's move on. Yeah.
Just go around the grounds and let
do you
me just
go quickly.
Yeah,
anything?
I'll go quickly. Unless there's a few things I think we should touch on. I'm going to go through the results real quick. Spurs 1, Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Sheffield United 0, Brighton 5, something we've got to talk about in that one. Fulham 1, Villa 2. Goals from Ollie Watkins, back in form, playing great. Newcastle 2, Bournemouth 2. And Nottingham Forest 2, West Ham United. Another loss for David Moyes. Straight to the top of there, real quick. João Gomes, in my thoughts, for underappreciated performer for Wolverhampton Wanderers. Midfield player, small dude, brilliant little player. Scored a really good goal. And how about Wolves, Rob? How about the job that this guy is doing? I mean, he's going to be right there with Rob Edwards
impressive.
And maybe others. Wolverhampton Wanderers, 11th in the league table. A great win away at Tottenham.
Yeah, can't speak highly enough of Gary O'Neill. His team are well set up. They play well. Pedro Neto, my friend, is an absolute diamond. Who would, and I put him a note, and I hope Wolves fans don't hate me for this, would be a perfect Tottenham Hotspur player, by the way. Playing
percent.
In them wide positions
million
on the counter-attack with pace, dropping inside, making goals and bringing goals, beautiful player. And also, my other two points with Spurs were Emerson Royale and Ben Davies don't fit the boots of Pedro Porro and Udogie. The fullbacks missing for Spurs, playing in that higher position is such a miss, Rob, to the way they play. Maddison didn't quite get his game going as he would have liked, but that was down to a lot of the organisation discipline from Wolves. So, yeah, well done, Gary O'Neill. Brilliant work he's doing at that football club.
We've got to talk about...
Let's go to Sheffield United.
Yeah, go for it.
Sheffield United in Brighton. So, Chris Wilder's Sheffield United, and, you know, he's always talking about, you know, the steel of his team and the organisation, and, you know, they've lost the last one, but, we're still looking good. I mean, the challenge by Mason Holgate on Mitoma, that to straight red, that I mean, if you could give two reds, Rob, I'd give him two reds.
Yellow, Mason blue, Holgate, everything. Give him all the red cards as possible.
Yeah, blue, yeah. All the cards possible. Mason Holgate, let me just talk to you about Mason Holgate for one reason, because I want to give you my underappreciated performer of the week after this. So Mason Holgate has become a footballing liability from a decent Premier League player. He's 27 years of age, played 126 times for Everton, played a number of positions, full-back, centre-back, left, both full-back positions for Everton, and generally was known to do a decent job. He went on loan to Southampton this season, Rob. They got rid of him, didn't want him. Went on at Southampton in the Championship. He's gone to Sheffield United. He's a liability in a game that his team just want to try and nick a point and give a bit of belief. He makes a challenge like that lets himself, his team, his teammates and the manager down. And just like, to me, Rob, no real appreciation of the circumstances in which he's going. He's a footballer who he'll go back to Everton. He's probably on a big contract. Maybe Everton will think, well, it's maybe time. He might get another move to a Premier League or possibly a Championship club. And that's how his career is going to go. And it irks me so much because he's 27 years of age. He's played England under-20s, under-21s, had a decent reputation, and he's letting his career flitter by. Now, let me go to my underappreciated performer of the week, who plays for Brighton. He's 33 years of age. He doesn't score that many goals, actually. He's named Danny Welbeck. He started at Manchester United. He was a star youngster through the academy at Manchester United. He's played for United, Arsenal, Watford, Brighton and Sunderland on loan in the Premier League. He continues, Rob, every week to give of his best. He's redefined himself and his role under De Zerbi, as he did under Potter. He looks like he's a great guy to have around. He's helping young players in the Brighton team that maybe in the next year or two, you know, he's going to move on and Ferguson's going to come in and the Buenanotes and the Ancisos and the Fatis and the Pedros are going to be the stars. There couldn't be a bigger opposite to Mason Holgate than Danny Welbeck, who is dragging every last ounce out of his Premier League career, and I couldn't love him any more for it.
Well said, my friend. Well said. Agree with everything. It's a great shout. I mean, he's still playing. He's not underappreciated by his manager, Rob. I'll tell you that. I mean, Evan Ferguson on the bench again. Danny Welbeck seems to be the number one pick for him as his number nine. Not flashy, you know, not going to grab headlines. Had a ton of awful injuries throughout his career, and yet here he is, still playing his trade in the Premier League, still an important part of a young, dynamic team that Roberto De Zerbi is putting together. It's a It's a bit of a left field, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe everybody's underappreciated him, but you make really good points on him. What a career. And it's a really good kind of comparison of a player. I mean, I can laugh about it now because Kara Mitoma is okay, and he carried on playing. I have never seen a tackle. That's right out of the 1970s, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you'd
lunge in. That's the old school, wasn't it? Yeah.
That's Leeds United in 1973.
Chopper Harris, wasn't it?
And Billy Bremer and all
Norman
these.
Norman Bite Your Legs Hunter. Yeah, go on YouTube, all you young listeners and viewers,
yeah,
if you don't know.
Yeah, please have a look. Have a look at fouls. Search on YouTube, fouls in the 70s or something, and you're going to see some of these challenges. It's comedic, really. Where that comes from,
yeah.
I have no idea. You said it best, Rob. That was a must-win game. That was a must-win game for Sheffield United. Yeah. Haven't got any chance of staying up. Brighton got a few injuries. Maybe a little bit soft and weak with the way that they play. Maybe. With some of the young technical players they've got. Be physical, Sheffield United, but not that. It was an awful, disgusting challenge that... I mean, I think there was some... I checked social media. Was there some... It might have been a Sheffield United player that said it was a harsh red card. You're never going to see a more certain red. Yeah. I think it was one of the defenders, actually, when I think back at it now. But crazy, ruined the game for everybody's point of view. But if you're a teammate, Rob, right, if that's me, right, and I go in there at the end of the game or at halftime, I think I've got to say something. I think I'm going to get into his face and realise what that means now. Thanks to that, I've got to run my socks off in this game against a team that played possession-based football anyway. It was astonishing to me. But anyway, let's move it forward. Great shout on Danny Welbeck. Sheffield United now with Burnley look like it's one way now. Almost miracle time for those two clubs to try and make up at least seven points out of staying in the division. Just other news and notes, Rob, I guess. Fulham 1, Villa 2. No surprises there. Ollie Watkins.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in a little zone right now. Newcastle 2, Bournemouth 2, Rob.
13 goals, 10 assists.
Is he? Yeah. Brilliant. That's great. Newcastle, 13, 10, they're struggling to get really going again, aren't they? Mm. Newcastle in their best form there. Late goal, wasn't it, for an equalising goal from Matt Ritchie,
yeah, former Bournemouth man. Yeah, Solanke, 14 goals for
well,
Bournemouth.
Well done.
The other
well
one,
done.
Rob, which has, is Nottingham Forest 2, West Ham 0. Mm. And I believe some West Ham fan shouting you're getting sacked in the morning and you don't know what you're doing and all that stuff was coming out to David Moyes, which isn't great. I mean, Calvin Phillips, Rob, you've just got him on loan. Two yellow card fouls. I mean, when it rains, it pours for David Moyes. And I tell you what I saw on this one, Rob. Great win for Nuno, a 2-0 win that gives Foyce some hope, and you kind of feel that Foyce are going to be okay. But a little footnote I saw on Forest, Rob, and I don't know if you picked up, Mark Clattenburg has gone as a referee analyst for Nottingham Forest. Our good friend, Mark Clattenburg.
So I assume when
decisions are given... So what's his role when decisions are given on VAR? We've got our own ref who can have a look at it and maybe have an opinion, I know clubs will look at every angle. So Mark Clattenburg, a referee analyst. So are we going to see all... I know it's David Ellery and Mike Riley and all that is going to start coming back.
I don't get it, Rob. I mean, is he going to coach the team... Be careful, this is what referees are looking out for, you can't do this
these
now.
These things,
explain
maybe.
The rules. Yeah. I don't know what he's saying. That's the first. That is a first. It's a. But I'll tell you what, mate. That's
no
a big
surprise,
win.
Mark Clattenburg's a first.
Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I
big
know.
Win for Forest.
It's a big win for Forest.
Really, really big win. Yeah. All right, mate, listen, it's been a big week. We're over an hour on that one. It's a weekend when we have a top three that's separated by just 4 points. It feels like we've got a real three-horse race going on this time. The other end of the table, Burnley and Sheffield United, they look doomed, conceding 9 goals between them this weekend. So there's just one spot to avoid down there at the bottom of the table for the teams trying to fight against relegation. We'll be back next Sunday, that's February the 25th, when we'll recap match week 26, when Arsenal host Newcastle at the Emirates, and we'll also recap the League Cup final with Liverpool play Chelsea in the big match at Wembley. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.